This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Total of 13 men were surgically fitted with bionic penises in public hospitals last year alone. And an estimated cost of over $512,000. Amid a sharp rise in demand for the hydraulic appendages. The devices, which are also known as penile prostheses, can manually inflate to simulate an erection, allowing a male patient suffering from impotence to regain sexual function. Now, the most common model is a three-piece inflatable penile prosthetic. Consisting of an abdominal reservoir and dual cylinders implanted, which can be inflated using a pump located in the scrotum.
Hang on, baby.
Yeah. A number of patients who underwent the surgery to be fitted with the devices last year climbed by more than 60%. So 13 altogether. And I believe this happened, I think this is UK, maybe?
Ireland.
Yes, Ireland.
All right. Question. Is this like the guy with the super micro penis?
Yeah.
I get his. Is this like people just have small ones?
These are for people who don't
These
work.
Are medical.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So some people, like in the States, there's a lot of cosmetic surgery. My understanding, at least at this particular clinic in Ireland, most of the people coming in for this procedure, there's an actual medical issue, hence bionic, not just an implant. What did I say, bionic?
Well, they say 86.
I got a bionic.
86% of patients who underwent this thing, so they were very satisfied with the outcome. So the average cost is about $39,000, $39,600.
Reebok pump was ahead of its time.
It really was.
We can't make it work where we wanted to. Put it in a shoe.
A lot of people had to go through revisions, post-operative things, sure. A little bit of complications, but other than that. The causes of device failure reported by patients included the kinking of the tubing. So, in other words, there's a kink in the tube and the air can't get through there.
It's like your garden hose, you know?
Yeah.
It just seems like with that procedure, don't use the word kink.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I got a kink.
So you can deflate it back to the pump shoes by pushing the release valve located down there as well.
What if she hits it by mistake while you're bowling?
Sorry, baby.
Well, you got to pump it back up. Yeah. Pump you up. Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
So they say that in Ireland, the average cost of that surgery is like 36 grand. What do you think it is in the States?
80.
Believe it or not, it's cheaper. Anywhere from 20 to 30.
Huh.
I know. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, God, how much is it in the U.S.? I'm like, how? So, hey, Irish listeners, if you need a bionic penis, it's cheaper in the States. Hello, old man Kenny. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
My cock, I'm sorry. I'm switching stories. I have a way better one. As it turns out, this happened to my buddy.
Kenny, I'm just telling you. I don't think you want to do that, but go ahead. Tread easily.
Well, this happened to my partner and a good friend of mine. We were 15 and 75 and would hang out during the summer. He stayed in his dungeon basement. He was a late sleeper. I'd go wake him up around noon and we'd do our thing during the day, what teenagers do. For 2-3 days, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. By day 4 or 5, I'm still trying to get him. No, I'm not doing it. I said, well, what's wrong, dude? He said, one of my testes is swollen. I said, swollen? He says, yeah. And we went to grade school through 9th grade, you know. We're like brothers. I said, show me. he drops his pants, and one of his testes is bigger than a softball. Almost the size
my
of
God.
A grapefruit.
Jesus, man.
Almost the size of a grapefruit. Don't tell my dad. Don't tell. Well, so he went and laid back down. I went out the backyard up the front door and told his dad. And his dad rushed him to the hospital. And they had to remove that testy.
Oh.
It was abscess. He would have died the next day or so, according to the doctor and him. It was huge.
What
was
leads huge. To an abscess?
I don't know.
I mean, is there anything that he did, or is it just something that happens? My point being, I want to avoid anything that would lead to an abscess of my testicles.
And I asked him, did you take a shot there or anything, you know? And he didn't recall any incident, but, he went on to have 3 kids with 1 testy. And us, the guys, the close friends we'd hang around, when Jim would come walking up, here comes Jimmy with the Johnson in his hand. He's a one-ball man, and he's off to the rodeo.
All right.
I'm sure he appreciated that. go, got my testicle removed. My buddies wrote a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it go.
Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
I just think it's crazy. Don't tell my dad.
Yes.
I mean, even in my younger days, if there's something wrong down there, like, you need to take me to the hospital.
Yeah,
it just needs to be done, man.
I feel like generally you'd have that reaction if you had hurt yourself doing something dumb, but, like, you just wake up and you're hurt like that.
Yeah,
like,
tell my dad.
Yeah.
Absolutely tell.
I would rather tell my dad when I was a kid than probably my mom.
Well, because moms do show me. Like, just believe me on this. Just trust me. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, my wife at the time was my girlfriend, right? We decided to go on this vacation down to California. We're in this hotel room. We just get out of the shower together, and she snaps me with a towel. So I start snapping her back, and we're having, like, this towel-snapping fight all over the hotel room. And all of a sudden, I have a tendency to, like, take things way too far. So... I'm getting more and more aggressive with my fighting techniques, and I went to go hit her right as she was turned, and she goes down. She's crying. She's like, I'm like, okay, we'd only been together for probably like 8 months, and I was like, well, that was a fun run. I guess this is over.
You just thought it's done.
And I'm rubbing her back. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, she gets up and she's laughing and she's like, it's my turn. So I'm running away from her and she, I don't know how she managed to do it, but from across the hotel room, she got me right in the berries.
Oh, did it take you down?
Oh, I went down. I went down hard, harder than she went down.
Yeah.
Well, it caused me to have an erection, right? And I was like, okay, well, I guess... That's what happens, right? Well, 5 hours
now, there's
later.
A man for you, everybody. I got an erection, and my thought was, all right. No questions asked.
5 hours later, we end up in the emergency room because it's still there. It ain't going away. And the doctors are doing, like, these blood tests. What's going on? What did you take? I didn't take anything. No, BS. What did you take? And I didn't take anything. This is what happened. And so eventually he comes up with this idea. Well, have you tried taking care of it the natural way? And we both look at each other like, well, no, we didn't think about that. And he's like, well, maybe you should try that. Let me go get your paperwork together and get you out of here. Okay, cool. Well, we decided to just go ahead and take care of that right there at the hospital. You know, we're in this emergency room. The curtains are all closed. We're going at it. Nurse comes by and just swings that curtain wide open. Everybody in the emergency room sees what we're doing. We're just going at it. She's like, you guys got to stop that right
now. It's medical.
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, doctor's orders. And then my wife said, well, we can't stop. And she's like, why? And she's like, I need a towel.
Oh, God.
Jesus.
All right. Okay. But did that work? Was that the solution?
Actually, it did. It did work. After that, I was done for a couple days, actually. It didn't feel too good for a few days after that.
I wish that was the medical conclusion to all problems.
Yeah.
Doc, I'm running a fever. Hey, listen, son, in the next 10 minutes, I'm going to need you to have sex, okay? That's the only way to break the fever. Like, all right, Doc, come on.
I've seen somebody open up skin on a towel fight.
Really?
In a locker room, on a thigh. I mean, opened his skin up. That was when I was like, this is not as fun as, you know, I did not realize.
When you're a little kid, it's fun.
A welt is one thing, but to actually open up someone's skin.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, Jesus, man. Like, that was, he's like, look at it. Like, it wasn't even like he was in pain from, like, just the initial
sting. He's just amazed.
Then he looked at it, he's like, oh, man, look at that. I was like, Jesus, dude. Good or bad, let's see a best story involving your junk, 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
So I was at work 3 weeks ago and was setting up an area so that I could work overhead. I took a step at the end of what we call an iron pile and lost my balance. Well, as I lost my balance, I reached back to try to catch my, and there was an 8-inch by 1/4-inch by 4-inch piece of steel. Enough. It went through the back of my pants, sliced what I thought was my scrotum, and so no one else is around. I have to get myself unhooked from this. I reach down, there's blood. I walk to the outhouse on the job site, grab all the paper gaskets that go down on the toilet there, and I stuffed them up there like a man pond. to stop the bleeding.
A man pond.
Yeah, and what I could do is, because I couldn't see what happened, I took a picture of it. A picture of it looked like a woman on a bad day, and I thought I reached down there, and I thought I had a hole in my scrotum. So I called my foreman, and he's like, what's up? And I'm like, so I tore my scrotum. I think my testicle's about to fall out. He's like, what? And luckily we had an on-site doctor, or not doctor, but like a medic or whatever, to keep us from having to go to the ER, so to speak. And we walk in there, and it's just shortly after his break. So he just gets done eating, and he's like, what's up? And I'm like, I think I tore my scrotum. And he's like, and just the expression on this kid's face dropped, turned kind of white, and he's like, what? So, you know, shut the door, kind of get in this awkward yoga position, because, again, I don't know what it looks like. And he's like, oh, well, I can put some ointment in this, but you should go to the you know, occupational clinic. So then we go there, and same sort of thing. The doctor lady comes in. She goes, what happened? I'm like, I tore my scrotum. She's like, well, let me go get a male counterpart, because I guess that's what's needed. And they both come in, and they're like, okay. And so I show her the picture. She's like, well, I'm going to have to look at it. And so I'm not shy. Got my trowel, cover up, and kind of stuck my leg up this time in a different position. And she's like, oh, no. You need to go to the emergency room. She's like, if we were in the middle of nowhere, Alaska, I could stitch this up. I'm sure I could. But you should go to the ER. So another 30-minute ride to the ER and get there. And again, I'm standing in line and thinking to myself, I have a hole in my scrotum and trying to keep everything in there. And I get in line, and the security guard goes, what are you here for? I'm like, lacerated scrotum. He's like, you're in that line. So they put me over. And they finally get in there, looking around. I got my gown on in the ER, and I'm standing up because that's the most comfortable position to be in. And there's a sign that says no pictures, no photography, no da da da, this and that. Doctor comes in and goes, what happened? And so I think I tore a hole in my scrotum. And he goes, okay, let me see. Again, I get down there and got my leg propped up, and he's like, I'm going to need to take a picture of this to talk to the urologist. And I'm like, okay. So he gets down there on his knees and starts, I hear this click, 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 click. And he gets the pictures. Yeah, exactly. He gets the pictures, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to have someone come in and clean up. This person happens to be also named Chris, and it's kind of bad for him because, you know, what it is cleaning up wounds. So he gets the saline thing, and he's squeezing. The doctor comes back in and looks, and he starts poking it around my scrotum, because again, think there's a hole in there. And he's like, oh, well, good news is there's no hole. This is just superficial. It got the fatty tissue down there, and you know, we'll stitch it up. So then he gets you know, his kit going, and he's like, all right, well, how do you want to lay? And I'm like, I guess on my side, like the guy did when we irrigated it out. So I got my leg propped up on my fist, you know, and he's like, oh, do you want, you know, help holding your leg up? I'm like, well, either that or something to, like, towels or something to hold it up. So he calls the young man, Chris, back in to help hold up the leg. And me and Chris had the same notion, where put a bunch of towels under there and all goes. Well, during the course of this, of course, someone is looking for the other man named Chris, and it's some nurse. And hey, Chris, where did you do? Chris. And he's like, I'm busy. Don't open the door. So 10 seconds later, what happens? The door opens, and yep, this nurse gets an eyeful. So a brown eyeful. But it was funny, because as we're doing this, the doctor's like, you know, I didn't know they did gender reassignment surgery on a construction site. And I was like, well, you know, you got a real soft touch, Doc, the whole eat the fuckers thing. And the other thing was, is as he's down there, I swear, every few minutes, and I don't know if he knows himself, because I'm grateful that he did a good job, the stitches are all up, and they're all taken out, but I swear he was just going, oh, and I'm like, dude, your face can't be more than a foot and a half from my brown eye. And, you know, and so, you know, everything went as it was. I went back to work on light duty the next day. Light duty, got the stitches out, cleared for work. You know, the stitches did what they were supposed to do. And 2 days after that, the company decided to let me go. And
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. Boy, they really gave it to you, Nikeser.
Damn, man.
Yeah. But no, everything's functional down there. Everything works. The doctor did a great job stitching it up. But yeah, it tore me a 3-inch cut in a V shape, and 1 inch of it went up under my scrotum. The rest of it was right there between where the. Go ahead.
I'm assuming you had to get a tetanus shot.
Yeah, but that's common trade. I've had probably 4 tetanus shots in the last 10 years.
Yeah, well, sounds about right.
Yeah, just.
Well, I just said the doctor's breathing a foot away. Like, doc, you got to stop breathing on my anus. I mean, look, I know you got to do what you got to do, but it's
wear a mask.
Yeah, something. Like, I can feel your hot breath on my backside, doc. I'm not trying to be difficult, man. Real uncomfortable. Real uncomfortable.
I don't want anybody. Yeah. That's
especially weird. For a medical thing. There's nothing sexual. I mean, you're standing there like, you know, Captain Morgan. To get your testicles stitched back together, like, stop breathing on my ass. Do you say something? I know you're doing God's work, man, and I appreciate it.
I just don't know if there's anything that can be done. Like, that's an awkward
Miles
position
like
that you're
getting
done, man.
Like, I know you got to be close, but
wear a
feel
mask.
Your breath on my
butt.
I am
assuming anybody who's doing anything to me in any kind of surgical nature or anything like that more than likely is wearing a mask.
Especially that close to that
area. But I don't
area.
Think for stitches.
Right. Because to them, stitches are stitches. Well, regardless of the location,
but also,
like, I'm just doing
stitches. He's hot off a construction site. No, no offense.
Yeah.
Like,
for your own good,
it's not like
mask.
You went home and showered.
I hear you. I'm just saying, I can imagine the doctor's just like, oh, that's simple. I'll just sew this up.
5 minutes, no problem.
I mean, I'm just like, like nobody put a mask on to put stitches in my chin or staples in my head.
I've never had anybody breathing in my butt like that. Good or bad?
Almost there.
What is the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
The mighty 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle. Always live on the free Odyssey app. From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Reason why you should go see a doctor if anything's going on down there, not that we need to tell you that. Hopefully you're freaked out enough, but a dad says that relying on, quote, Dr. Google, left him with a mini-me manhood when a wart turned out to be penile cancer, leading to partial amputation. Robert Hernan, 62, noticed a white spot on the shaft of his penis in August 2023. Now, after looking his symptoms up online, he was confident that Google's diagnosis of it was a wart and that it was true, and he simply hoped it would go away. Then October 2024, 14 months after he first noticed the spot, it had developed and grown into a large, weeping, cauliflower-like growth.
Ugh.
So the engineer was referred
weeping?
To... Yes.
Ew, man.
Referred
Excuse
to a
me.
Sexual...
Like cauliflower.
...health clinic. He says he was repeatedly interrogated about the number of sexual partners he had, despite being happily married to his wife and never cheating on her. Staff planned to freeze what they initially believed was a wart, but after a doctor examined it, he was immediately referred to the hospital. When the specialist examined him, he told him it was penile cancer and booked him in for surgery. The granddad of 4 urged the surgeon, take off whatever you got to take off to shift the cancer away. Robin had a partial penectomy and now jokingly refers to his manhood as mini-me, which although is shorter, is still functional.
I just want to point that out.
That's right.
Still works.
Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted?
James!
James, welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bicholas.
Hola!
All right, so years ago, I was a welder apprentice in PSNS, and I was welding in the overhead with TIG welding. So you got this tiny little metal rod, and it's a hot summer day. I got shorts on. I got sleeves on. Well, my cotton gloves I got this rod in are starting to get a little sweaty, and I dropped the rod, white hot tip. It goes straight down through my shorts, right to the head of my D.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And I'm like, ooh. So I get up, I jump up, I go to my boss, and my boss has got this meeting with shop heads and directors and a captain of the shipyard, the head guy of the shipyard. there in this meeting. And I'm like, hey, Bill, can I talk to you? And he's like, okay, Jim, it's going to be a minute. So I wait like 10 minutes and I go back. Bill, I really got to talk to you. And he's like, Jim, it's going to be a few more minutes. I'm like, all right. And I go back in there. I'm like, Bill, I got to tell. He's like, dude, Jim, what's up? And I'm like, I just burned the head of my D, dude. I need to go to the TMC. He's like, I'll be right there. So he signs a chip for me. He's like, okay, well, we'll just say that you burnt yourself. So I get this chip. I go down, take the shipper bus down to the TMC. About an hour later, I'm there. The whole place is full. There's people everywhere. And I go up to the lady to check in. And she's like, sir, it says here that you burnt yourself. Where exactly did you burn yourself at? And I'm like, well, ma'am, for that, I'm going to have to ask for a male doctor. And then like, it was like everybody in the shipyard already knew that I burnt the head of my D. And everybody stopped and turned and like, that's the guy.
That's so him.
I go into the doctor's and I get in the room and I'm sitting on the bed. And a doctor comes in and it's a Navy guy. And he's sitting at the desk and he's looking at the other side and so he's going over with the paperwork and all that. And he's like, okay, Mr. Johnson, it said that you burnt yourself here on the, where exactly did you burn yourself? And I'm like, the head of my D, and he laughs. And then I'm like, nothing. And then he asks again, where did I burn myself? And I'm like, the head of my D. And he dropped his pen and he's like, okay, so let's take a look. So he's down there and he's poking, he's prodding, and he's like, wow, this is really peculiar, and da 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 da. And I hadn't seen it. I didn't look at it. I was too scared to look at it. And he's like, I'll be right back. So he leaves me there for about 5 minutes, and then he comes back in with some barely 19-year-old, brand-new Ensign hottie batatis, three of them, all blonde, beautiful. And they're all just there poking and prodding my D. And, yeah.
Why did they have to poke and prod? I mean, what was the fun? Did they put ointment? Can we just cut to the chase? You don't need to poke it.
Exactly. And it was just a little rod, and it hit right next to the hole. It hit on the side of the hole. But fortunately, it was like about a quarter of a millimeter from actually cauterizing my hole.
Oh. You almost cauterized your own urethra.
Wow. So how long did it take for you to heal up?
Oh, it was only a few days because it didn't actually do any real damage. But the whole point was that I was sitting there and I was just like, any other time I might actually go and ask one of these ladies for their phone number.
That'll never happen.
No.
Yeah, I remember you. You had the burnt penis. Like, it's almost a guarantee that's
a hard no.
Going to happen.
Yeah. Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
Just a quick side note. Why do doctors always feel the need to pull in? I understand everything can be a teachable moment, but certain things you don't want people joining because I've had the one time I was asked, it's not embarrassing, right? Because I was getting the thing on my head done. This is a teaching hospital. Do you mind if students come in? No. And they come, but they're poking around my neck, which is exposed anyway. When I had that weird thing on my ass, and the doctor's response was, ooh. If he had said, do you mind if I bring someone in? I would have said, yes. Actually, in this case,
dude,
I do.
When I had that giant hematoma after the sledding incident, like, the doc, I was just in the emergency room. People kept coming in, and I was like, are you the doctor? And, like, one guy just laughed. He goes, no, I just had to see it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not the doctor.
The thing with me is that I grew up in the university had a hospital.
Yeah.
So from the time that I was 5 years old to the time that I left at 23 years old, you only go to teaching hospitals. West Virginia University.
Right.
So anything, dentistry, I mean, you name it.
They're coming in.
It's also cheaper.
Anything going on.
It is cheaper.
Yeah. You're going to be like... You're going to be studied by a group of students.
Mm-hmm.
No matter, and trust me, I've had some embarrassing situations before.
What's the worst?
Probably when I got a venereal disease from...
that sucks.
My buddy's sister and took the motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I ended up burning my leg that day.
So they brought in extra novice doctors to...
Just to be able to say, hey, look, this is how we diagnose this. This
see
is what he
looks?
Has. And this is the treatment, which is two giant shots in each cheek.
What did you have, and what are the identifying factors? Was it the green drip?
Chlamydia, I think.
Oh.
Yeah.
See how his penis is doing that thing? Yeah, it's not good.
No.
Like, cool, Doc.
I had the only one that was kind of embarrassing, just because I think it talks about my thighs, is I had a bump down there. And I went to the clinic, and it was a female doctor. And she just goes, all right, well, pull your pants down. Oh, see you shave.
Oh, damn. Why bring it up?
It just seemed a little unprofessional.
It's an unnecessary comment.
Yeah, I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like saying,
are you wearing fuzzy chaps?
It's like saying, like, oh, you have a beard.
Right.
I get, you're right, but it's my junk.
Right. Just don't.
It was just like an ingrown hair or like a giant pimple.
That's what I love.
It scared me enough. It just served me. And she's already like down there. And she's like, oh, you shave.
Yeah.
Not now.
I did.
Good or bad?
Was it fresh? Was it like a fresh shave for this specific purpose? Like, hey, I'm going to go like in.
Inner thighs?
No. Just like here.
Oh, okay.
I could have told you.
I know. Thank you for the visual.
Well, and the YouTubers. I don't think it was a fresh. I think it, I mean, usually.
Just your normal grooming.
Just normal grooming. Okay. It was just, whatever it was that was growing in there just scared me enough where I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Huh. I see you shave. So that's my general upkeep. Thank you for noticing.
Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-RUN.
I mean, I get it now that I'm older, but I feel like in my late 20s and early 30s, like, every time you take those tests, and there's no reason I should feel that way, but I was like, I've got something.
Of course you go in there thinking.
Right? Like, I was like, I got the HIV.
There's 8,000 things I should not worry about, but once they do the test and you have to wait a couple of days for your blood work, I am convinced I have every single thing they tested for.
Yeah, and that
I have cancer and HIV and ALS, like, you name it, I got it. Right, I've got it.
I for sure have it.
Yeah, then they're like, dude, you're fine. Like, cool. Hello, Arby. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Is Arby a real name?
It's Barbie. He didn't get the B.
It's Barbie. Arby. That's why I'm like, man,
send us some sandwiches.
I can understand how you got the nickname.
Her phone broke up a little bit.
So it is. I feel much better about things.
Sorry, Barbie.
Barbie. All right.
Like, is this a roast beef story?
Yeah. I was like, well,
I thought it was weird, but you never know.
Based on what we're talking about, like, we got the meats. Like, wow.
Those are just two different names, Arby and Barbie.
Well, that's why I'm asking, is this a nickname? Because if it is, I know why.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I got, never mind.
Yeah, we so, know.
You got plenty of horsey sauce.
So there's been so much talk about man junk, I thought I would toss in a little bit of women junk.
Oh, time to talk about vaginas. Hang on, I think I have something for that. Yeah. Hold on.
You're going.
Wait, hold on before you, I want to announce it.
Vagina.
Yeah,
Barbie,
it is.
Barbie, I've seen you. You have no junk.
Vagina.
It's our vagina alert.
You and Ken.
Someone turn the alarm off.
Vagina.
Oh, dear God. So,
vagina.
God. So, I have been a veterinary technician for many, many years. And when I first was a technician, I had to go outside and give a very large black German Shepherd a sedation injection.
There, what's up, girl?
He was not a good dog. He was, owners had him on a 9-foot leash. Unfortunately, they did not have hold of his leash at where his collar was. And I snuck up behind him, stabbed him in the butt, and backed off. He turned around, honed in on me, and charged me and bit me in the crotch.
Oh,
and
my man.
Threw me on my butt. I was airborne. I was in shock. I looked down. He had ripped open my scrubs and my underwear, and I grabbed myself, said OF, and one of the gals from inside ran out, grabbed me, ran me into the bathroom, and I was going into a massive panic attack, and I couldn't really see where half of the punctures were. And I was crying, and I had to open the door and have one of the other technicians come in and look because I couldn't see. I was so embarrassed. I was like, I am so sorry, but you have to look. I can't see.
I need you to look at my vagina.
I'll do it.
Yes. I need you to look at my vagina. And so anyway, she looked, and she was like, you probably need to go to the doctor. And anyway, so long story short, I ended up having multiple punctures in my labia. And a huge hematoma down the side of my leg because all of his side teeth grabbed my thigh all the way down.
Jeez.
Okay. And, yeah, it was.
Well, I got to ask you, how fast did the dog go down? He, like, he turned around and lunged at you, but after you gave him that shot, yeah. I mean, how long does it take to sedate the dog?
Oh, it was in the muscle, so it takes usually, like, 5 to 10 minutes.
Right. Oh, wow. Okay. I didn't know how quick that stuff happened.
But anyways, yeah, the owner was just felt so bad. She, the next day, sent me a big bunch of flowers and
I don't want flowers. I want a new labia, woman.
Yeah, and an O'Keefe.
an O'Keefe painting.
Sure. Do they have to stitch your labia back up?
No. Luckily, it was just clean punctures.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Just clean punctures to the labia. Yeah, that's a...
Oh, my God. Yeah, and especially by a 100-pound black German shepherd.
How long did it take for you to feel normal down there?
Oh, God, weeks.
Wow.
I would never want to have a dog like that.
No. Well, no.
Yeah, we fired them as clients.
Yeah, well, that's fair. Yeah. You know, yeah. One bite to the vagina, next thing you know, your dog gets you booted out. Hey, were you dating anyone at the time or anything like that?
I was, and he was very understanding. And
well, sure.
Yeah, I mean, but your forearms got huge.
But I...
He looks like Popeye.
All right.
Or hers. Yeah. Get any lockjaw?
That. Yeah, it took Oral to a whole new level.
Man, yeah.
Oh, wait, did I just say that on the... Oh, my God.
So I know they were understanding. Anyone can understand. Obviously, you did not want this to happen. But
no.
Did you show them, and did they have, like, an audible response? Like, oh, God.
All they knew is that they saw that he had torn open my scrubs and my underwear. I mean, right. it was wide open.
Man, oh, man.
Okay.
Wow. Damn.
That is not
good. I mean, who's a bad boy?
Well, first of all.
Who's a bad boy?
Look, man, being bit by a dog hurts.
Yes.
A lot. Doesn't matter where it is. Just, jeez.
I think it matters more, though, if it's there.
Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing great, man. How are you?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream.
Okay.
Hey, so when we were kids, grew up in West Seattle, and we were swimming at Denny Pool there, and they had a high dive and a low dive, and then they had a divider rope between the low and high dive, so you could open one side for swimming and open whichever diving board was open at the time. And we were teaching this younger kid there how to do can openers off the high dive. It's where you bounce and go off and tuck one leg up and lean back and make a big splash, right?
Yeah.
So he totally misunderstands. He goes out there and does this great big bounce, and he goes on one leg while he's on the diving board. So it made him go sideways off the diving board, and he landed off the high dive with a great big bounce with the rope right between his legs, and he didn't even go underwater. And he was just like in agony, and he's like, whoa, stuck on the rope. Lifeguard to dive in to get him out of there because he was incapacitated and get him up on the bank. We were all like, whoa, and just like dying.
So he just landed on the rope and didn't even roll off of the thing?
No, he landed and didn't even go underwater, just his legs and knees.
I would bet money those diving boards are gone. Just from insurance purposes, in the last 30 years, they've taken every one of them out. That was my favorite part about going to the pool.
Yeah, sure.
High dive, springboard. I could spend hours bouncing off that thing.
But then that's like that happens, and they're like, let's get rid of them.
Good or bad, what's the best story involving your junk? 206-803-ROCK.
The Knights of Columbus pool I went to as a kid always had low dives, the high dive.
Yeah.
But, I'm wondering. You're right. They probably took out those high dives. They were awesome.
They used to have slides, too.
Well, that was the issue, was that they always had softball on Sunday nights.
All right.
And then they would close the pool early, and whoever the dads were or whatever playing softball. But some drunk guy was standing on that slide and fell off and cracked his head. So they got rid of the slide.
Not the drunk guy, but we got to get rid of that slide.
So for like the kids, it was like, even now as an adult,
that sucks.
I would be like, well, keep the slide.
Well, even that little blue curvy slide that some people had in their own private pools, they sucked. Once you do it like once or twice, you're like, all right.
Yeah.
Get me back on the
pool. I mean, a lot of pools still have like smaller ones.
Yeah, the little itty bitty one.
There's,
but you're not elevated high. They'll have a diving board, but it's like a foot off the ground kind of thing.
There is one, like I went with Bernie and his kids a few years ago, and it's not like a big slide, but it looked fun. So Bernie went, then I went, and then his kids are just dying laughing. We're like, what? And they're like, oh, that slide was shaking when you two went.
Yes, I bet it was. Hello, Carl. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
Hey, this is Carl from Pittsburgh, man, about a couple miles from Turtle Creek.
Oh, cool.
All right.
Carl.
Yes, sir.
I'll talk smack to you starting in September. Until now, hello.
Oh, yeah. I still got some family up there.
You do? Good, good.
Yeah.
Hey, so I was an umpire for a little league baseball back in Pittsburgh, and umpiring. Ball was at the center field. Well, the center fielder, a little kid, went to jump up to catch the ball, and he got a junk caught on the top of the fence.
Oh!
And he basically ripped his pants all the way into his testicles.
Ooh!
The testicles were hanging off the fence, on the top of the fence, and he was still hanging on the fence.
Oh my God!
Oh, Jesus. No! That's awful.
Yeah, yeah. And to this day, every time I think about that story, I cringe.
Yes. His entire body weight was being held by his testicles on a fence.
I mean, he was probably, I don't know, 100, 110 pounds.
It doesn't matter. How much weight could you put on your testicles? I mean, look, if someone tied a brick, which weighs a lot less than 100 pounds, I'm going to scream. Was this near McKee's Rocks?
Well, McKee's Rocks, yeah.
Exactly. Just hanging on the fence.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
God, okay. That's awful.
So anyway, we ran out to center field, and they asked if anybody had ice. They wanted to stick the testicles on ice to see if they could save them. And we had to wait for a paramedic to get there to basically lift them off the fence. We supported them, and they took him, and he was known as one bald Bubba. His name was Bubba.
Of course it was.
OBB?
So,
Jesus.
So, and look, I don't know. So as the umpire, and obviously the game comes to a stop, everyone agreed to not take him off the fence. It was easier just to support his weight.
It was easier to support his weight because you didn't know what else you could damage just taking him off the fence.
Jesus. Good man. God. That is horrible.
That is not something I'd ever want
to do. I need that padding up top, man. No chain link, just the padding.
Oh,
man, that is terrible.
All right.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Hello, Larry. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
Hello. So this happened to me many, many years ago. I've recovered, obviously, from it. But urethra restriction repair. I'm assuming you know what all that is.
I mean, it's kind of self-explanatory.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, I had the restriction, and they went in and did an open repair, and at home it ruptured.
Oh,
and
no.
My boys. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They were more like cantaloupes, the size of it. And I'll tell you what, that is the worst pain I have ever had in my life. Thought I was gonna die.
I bet you did, man.
How do they correct? I mean, obviously you go back. It's just something they have to repair, I guess.
I was on medication for a week. I don't know what they did, and then I had to have a catheter at home for a month.
Was there blockage that had to be removed?
I had had a traumatic catheterization several years before that created the restriction.
Okay.
It had been repaired before, and the restriction came back, so they had to go in and do another repair.
What's it? I gotta ask. What's it like having to use the bathroom but you can't? Like, you know you need to urinate.
Right.
Like, you know that feeling, but you're not able to do it.
You get, it's like somebody's hitting you in the kidneys.
Okay. Ugh. All right. That's awful.
It backs away. It backs up all the way into your kidneys.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So this needs to be done fast.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I was about 20 miles from the hospital, and I am a nurse, so I knew the ambulances would take too long, so I just got in my car, and well, I would just say I maxed out what that car could do on the way to the hospital, and I got there, and I got into the emergency room, and they took care of me.
Wow.
Jesus, man.
Golly. Okay.
Right.
What a day.
Ooh. So far, I feel the worst for the kid playing Little League.
Jesus.
Oh, wizard. For sure.
Of all the stories I heard, none of them were awesome, no. But that kid, I feel the worst.
And Miles 100% right. Put the foam on top of that.
Please. Who Sucks Less is on the way at 4:30, and we've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.